Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so glad that you have joined me on today, and I'm excited that we're off to another wonderful lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed from the word of the Lord on today. So I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I know God is going to bless you. Our lesson that is going to be for today is Healing the Humble. So we're going to be talking about a humble spirit that touch the hearts of God and cause him to reward the seeker. And so we're going to be talking about the impact and the relevancy and the efficacy of just being humble. And so we're going to be looking at the book from the Mark chapter number 7, verses 24 through verse number 30. And so why don't you turn with me now, and we're going to get right into the word of the Lord. Father, we ask, O God, that you will bless us on today. We take this time to bind the fortress of darkness and the emissaries of the adversary that will come and try to impede upon your word and steal the seed. Father, we will rebuke every devourer and declare and decree, God, that your word will find a place in the heart and the life of your people, and that it will germinate and bring forth great fruit and to glory and honor on you. And Father, we thank you. In your wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And so the lesson is going to be found again, as I said, over in Mark chapter number 7, verses 24 to verse number 30. And it reads on this line, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into the house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast out the devil out of her daughter. Now Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumb. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And she was on, and when she come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now let's take a look at the scripture that we'll be looking at on today, and that's from verse number 28. And it reads on this line, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table of the children eat of the children's crumb. Now let's take a look further here at our lesson on today. Again, hearing the humble. Humility is an attitude of submission and meekness. It is a quality that demonstrates modesty, mildness, lowliness of mind, and a freedom from pride. It is the very cornerstone of character. Therefore, if a man lacks humility, all other quality rests upon the shifting sands of human frailty. Now, a lack of humility is also a fatal flaw that would dispose the spiritual nature endowed by the Holy Ghost. Now, thus said the high and the lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. And you'll find that over in Isaiah chapter number 57 and verse 15. Now, let's take a look at the unregenerated man. Is born with a nature that is disposed to sin. So we have to strive to humble ourselves before God. Now, if you read that, you can find that over in Psalms chapter number 51 and verse 1. Only by submitting our human will to the will of God may we walk in righteousness and true humility. Now, James 4, verses 5 through 7 said, "But ye think that the scripture said in vain, that the spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God." Since humility is contrary to the fallen nature of man, we should strive to cultivate an attitude of brokenness even before God. The Lord will draw nigh to a person with humility, and we'll find that again, another scripture reference, you'll find that over in Psalms 34 and verse number 18. Now let us therefore be joined together in humility that we might know the blessings of the Lord. And so here we must recognize that humility is also an attribute that God is looking for the children of God to have in their character, and he will reward you because of your humility as being broken before God, falling upon God and saying, God, I need thee each and every hour, every moment of the day. There's a scripture said that he that thinketh himself to be wise must become a fool that he may become wise. And so in essence, he said, in all the wisdom that you have to put that wisdom aside and come after the ultimate wisdom, which has come from a God. The scripture said that wisdom is the principal thing. In all thy getting, get an understanding. This wisdom comes from God. As we seek him out to have a spirit of humility and humbleness before the Lord God Almighty. Now, humility is not an option in the kingdom of God. It is the very nature of the kingdom. Yes, Jesus talked emphatically that without humility, it is impossible to even enter into the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter number 18, verses 3 through 4. Jesus praised those who demonstrated childlike humility. Such humility does not seek the praise and recognition of man. With great and mighty works could be accomplished through Christ if people were less concerned with who received the credit. Now, John the Baptist truly amplified the spirit and the attitude a child of God should have. He must increase, but I must decrease. And you'll find that over in John chapter 3 and verse number 30. Thus, the scripture established the principle that for God to operate freely in our midst, we must humbly approach his throne of grace. Again, Jesus proclaimed, "For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." And you'll find that over in Luke chapter 18, verse number 14. Now, let us take a look further as we continue to explore this here word of humility, hearing the humble. Now, coming to Jesus, weeping, and it couldn't be hidden. Let's take a look at that. As Jesus' ministry grew, the multitude of the people with sicknesses and disease sought out Jesus, believing that if they could just touch him, they would be healed. Seeking rebuke from the tolling demands on his ministry, Jesus journeyed north and west to the Syrophoenician city of Tyre and Sidon. Now, these two cities were situated on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, 100 to 120 miles from Jerusalem. Except for his brief sojourn in Egypt when he was a child, this was the only record that Jesus ever traveled beyond the confine of his native Judah, Judean, or Galilee. Evidently, he desperately needed to find a place where he could refresh himself physically and mentally away from all of the demands of his growing popularity. Yet when he arrived on the Syrian coast, the disciples found that his reputation had already preceded them, and they were unable to conceal him from those who earnestly sought his ministry. Jesus drew men and women from all walks of life because he was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh, the incarnation. And you'll see that over in John chapter 14, verses number 9, and also verse 11. Now, many people were with needs came to Jesus, for in him they found love and compassion. Those who was distressed came that they might find peace and joy in his presence. It was no wonder that Jesus could not be hidden, for he who was the light of the world possessed the power and the presence that emanated and illuminated his world like a beacon set upon a hill. Now let's look further. A Gentile woman, let's look at this Gentile woman and see what she did. It says here, there were many brokenhearted souls in Israel, yet God knew that there was a Gentile woman in the coast of Tyre in Sidon who needed a miracle. Although this woman was an idolater, an outsider, the inheritance of Abraham, God recognized in her humble spirit, full of faith. Being a Gentile, she was not among God's covenant people. Now, as the covenant people of God, Israel was greatly privileged to be the custodians of God's word and the recipients of God's favor. Yet, in spite of all of these blessings and the privilege, Jesus never commended the Jews of his generation for their great faith. There was only two instances in the New Testament where Jesus commended anyone for their great faith. Both of these examples involved Gentiles. Now, the first example was that of the Roman centurion who humbly besought the Lord to speak only the word that his servant might be healed because he felt unworthy for Jesus to visit his home. To those who followed him, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found a great faith, no, not in Israel." Matthew 8 and 10. The only other incidence was when Jesus commended someone for having a great faith was in reference to the Syrophoenician woman in this lesson we're talking about even on today. Now, to this humble outcast, Jesus spoke, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thy wilt." That's over in Matthew chapter 15 and verses number 28. Now, it's according to your faith, so be it unto you. Your faith is a currency in heaven. All you have to do is use that currency, use your faith, and watch God move in your life in a mighty and a profound way. Now, let's look further. As she was weeping under the burden, broken and heavy-hearted, this woman of the Syrophoenicia was weeping as she came to see Jesus. Coming to the door of the house where he was, she cried aloud in a great travail concerning her daughter, who was sorely vexed with a devil. She sought for Jesus to heal her. She fell down at his feet with a worship and began to worship him. She was consumed with the passion to have Jesus grant her petition. So great was her faith and desire to see her daughter healed that she did not even consider the obstacles that was in her way. In coming to Jesus, the woman did not ask something of herself, but she came desiring only that her daughter might be delivered from an unclean spirit. Selfishness robs a person of their ability to touch Jesus and to move him to act on their behalf. Rather, we should humbly seek first that which profits others. James 4 and 3 said, ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Now let's look further. In every instance that God commended individual for having great faith, he did so in response to an attitude of great humility. The Syrophoenician woman, like the Roman centurion, considered not her own needs or the extremities, but was thinking only about her daughter's need for deliverance. Love, humility, unity in the body of Christ assists the child of God to humbly seek the miracle-working hand of God without selfishness. Paul exhorted the church, saying, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than ourselves, and not look every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others." And you find that over in Philippians 2, verses number 2 through verse number 4. Now, let's look at the woman as she was at his feet. at the feet of Jesus. Now, when we are broken and heavy-hearted, we can find a place and find peace and comfort at the feet of Jesus. He who was manifested in the flesh to bear our infirmities and iniquity also bore our shame and carried our sorrows that we might be confident through the Holy Spirit. Now, he is sensitive and also responsive of our feelings, of our infirmities, as well as our temptations. And you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. In her brokenness, in her desperation, the Syrophoenician woman boldly approached Jesus, falling prostrate at his feet, forgetting the contempt that most Jews had towards Gentiles. She humbly knelt at the feet of Jesus and sought that he would grant her her petition. And at the feet of Jesus, people found grace and mercy. The lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, the afflicted, the sorrowful, the sinful, the seeking, and the tormented, and the worshiper. They all found grace and found mercy and help from Jesus as they humbled themselves up under his mighty hand. Now, we too must kneel at the feet of Jesus, free from pride and haughtiness, if we are able to receive his bountiful blessings that he would like to bestow upon our life. We must humble ourselves up under the mighty hand of Jesus. Now, the victim was a child. Let's take a look at it and look further. Now, it is especially tragic to see innocent children ravaged by the consequences of sin and evil in our world. Children are generally regarded to be pure and innocent, untainted by sin and its consequences. Parents should raise and nurture children through love and respect for the law of God. It is especially critical to provide a wholesome environment in which by enriched by godliness and spiritual awareness. For whatever caused the ungodliness and paganism and idolatry of Tyre and Sidon allowed the child of the Syrophoenician woman to become a victim of demonic possession. It seemed almost inconceivable that such a young child could be possessed of an unclean spirit. Yet the Bible says she was grievously vexed with the devil. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 22 states it. And Satan has not relinquished his assault on the youth even at the 21st century. We still see the assault upon the children and the attack. We as never before must pray. We must fast. We must ask God to save and to turn their lives around and watch God deliver and watch God move by his power divine. Now let's look further. Just as he victimized the youth of Jesus' day, he wants to bombard our youth and things with so many different things, astrology, witchcraft, drugs, illicit sex, and demonology, and hearsay, and false doctrine. He wants to engross them with all of these things that is totally against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we, as the people of God, as never before, we must stand in the gap and cry out unto God and humble ourselves and seek the Lord that God would deliver, that God would set free, and that God would change the hearts and the mind of even the young people and bring great deliverance. Spiritual enslavement by unclean spirits continue to vex the lives of people today throughout the world. We must recognize that as well as depression, anger, teen violence continue to run rapid even in this world, and it's only going to take a mighty move of the Holy Ghost and the power of God through the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to redeem and turn things around. And we as the people of God that know the power of prayer, we must pray. We must cry out to God as never before. Be that watchman upon the wall. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry unto the Lord our God and watch him move by his power divine. Now, Jesus answered her not. Now, isn't that ironic? How that she comes to Jesus in humility, falling down at his feet, crying unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he did not answer. And many times, sometimes we go to God, we fall down at his feet, and because we don't get an answer, we get up with no expectation. We get up with not looking for God to move on our behalf because we didn't get an answer. Now let's take a look at what happened here. Whenever we call on our name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that he hears our prayers. Yet there are times when we question whether he hears our petition. God does not always answer our prayers immediately, but he's always answer us at an appropriate time. Now, when the Syrophoenician woman cried after the Lord Jesus, he answered her not a word, but continued on as if he had not heard her. Yet she continued to implore him despite the angry objection of his disciples. Now, we must continue to faithfully call on the name of Jesus if we are to be received an answer to our prayers. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. God requires persistency and consistency in prayer, which often test our faith. God tried the faith of this Gentile woman by testing her fortitude and her determination. Although she was part of a heathen culture that was despised by the Jews, she would not be denied her petition. As a result, she discovered that even a Gentile could receive mercy by approaching the Lord in sincere humility. And that's all he said, is for us to humble ourselves up under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time as we stay humble up under his hand. Now, let's look further. Jesus coming to worship. Now, persistent in worship. It was in the heart of Jesus of every born-again believer reside in an intense desire to worship God. A love for God and his house springs up from within the souls of everyone who tasted of the precious fruit of salvation. Such worship is spontaneous and joyful without pretense or forced compliance. They who are filled with the Holy Ghost are baptized with joy, with the joy of the love. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. The Syrophoenician woman, she knew not that the grace of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his healing power, nevertheless, she did not have to be told to worship the Lord. Her worship was passionate and sincere, needing no encouragement, for she was thoroughly convinced that Jesus would free her daughter from her torment. Her desperate cry for mercy was also admitted by her faith that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of David, Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 22. If we are to are convinced of the saving power of Jesus' name, let us worship and be like the Syrophoenician woman who refused to let anything persuade her from worshiping the true and living God. In spite of the silence of Jesus, she continued worshiping lest she be denied her petition. Through her persistence in worship, she gained the attention of Jesus, and ultimately the miracle for which she desired was granted unto her because she diligently sought out Jesus. And so many times we must continue to seek out Jesus. We start out well, and sometimes because he doesn't respond to us, that doesn't mean that he did not hear us. But because the appropriate time have not came forth to manifest that petition that you asked of him, what you should do is continue to praise him as an action of your faith, saying, "Jesus, I still yet, if you do it, I worship you. If you choose not to do it, I'm still yet going to worship you," having that type of a mindset. And that's what the Syrophoenician woman had. She had a mindset to worship him. Let's look further. The disciple wanted to send her away. Now, the disciples of Jesus mistook his silence as an indication that he was unconcerned with the need of this poor Gentile woman. Although we may judge them harshly for their apparent insensitivity and seeming even their desire to move her away, we often are discomposed to think that if God does not answer our petition swiftly, it is because our petition was not worthy of his attention. And such misjudgment on our part keep us from participating in the blessings of the Lord. Now, likewise, the disciples of Jesus misunderstood his silence and urged him to send her away, being disturbed by her continued worship and petition. they desired to send her away because she distracted them from their own selfish agenda and shamed them by her personal faith that Jesus was the son of David. Let us never become so wrapped up in our own self-interest and involvement that our action or attitude send away those who seek true salvation. Try as they did to send her away, they did not succeed. She had come to worship in faith, and she would not be denied. In the humility, she continued to cry out to Jesus, not allowing her sensitivities to be offensive. It is difficult to be wounded, to wound the pride of a humble person, for in his solemn offense, having no illusion in regards to their own self-importance or no inflated ego to swell up their image of self-worth, they humbly acknowledge their unworthiness of God's blessing. Now, Matthew chapter number 15 and 25 say, untaunted by her treatment at the hand of the disciples, she cried out, "Lord, help me." And then Psalms 119 and verse 165 states, "Great peace have they had which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And so this woman was not easily offended by the rejection and by what the disciples was trying to do. And that's the same way it is for the children of God, even in the house of God. You should not allow yourself to be offended so easily in things. The Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Not according to who accept you, who believe in you, who's rallying behind you and things, and who's saying amen to you. No, he said, according to your faith. What is your faith saying in things? Even if you may be walking and standing by yourself, what is your faith saying? Put your faith before the God of glory and watch God do what needs to be done in and through your life. Now let's look further. Jesus sent only to lost sheep of Israel. Now, as the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ's primary mission was to turn the hearts of the Jewish people back to God. The Jews were God's chosen people to be witness unto all nations. Therefore, it was a plan of God that Israel should share the good news of the gospel with the Gentile. At the time of Jesus' visit to Tyre and Sidon, Israel had not yet recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Thus, his primary mission was still unfinished in regards to the spiritual restoration of the Jews. Jesus answered the Syrophoenicians, saying, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. He was reminding her that he was a Jew and that his mission was first to the Jews. Moreover, custom prevented Jews and Gentiles from socializing together. In spite of Jesus' apparent reluctance to honor her petition, she continued to worship him. If she was sorely tested by his answer to her pleader cause, it was not evidenced as she persisted in her request. Yet he was only testing the sincerity of her faith. His reply was, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Matthew 15:26. She immediately understood the implication that she, being a Gentile, was considered unworthy of God's blessing by the Jews of the day. Jesus used the terms "dog" was not to degrade her, but to contrast the attitudes of the Jews against his own. Further, the Greek word Jesus used could be translated "little puppy." Nevertheless, she did not take offense at his choice of words, but acknowledged that though she might be considered a dog by others, she could still receive the blessings of God. And her reply revealed her tremendous faith and humility. And I would like to say, too, I don't care what people may think of you from where you came from or what type of lifestyle you had before you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then your faith. God said, according to your faith, so be it unto you and things, not according to what you had did in the past. After you repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, baptized in his wonderful name, filled with the Holy Ghost, come and ask of him. And said, trust, the scripture said, trust the Lord. True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall off the master's table, Matthew 15:27. So she came back with Jesus with her faith and began to talk to Jesus and dialogue with him. And sometimes we must need the dialogue. Yes, Lord, you know, yes, I know I'm not worthy of it, but Father, according to your mercy, your tender mercy, your loving kindness, watch God move you from your place of obscurity to a place of prominency because of your heart before the Lord our God. He's able to do it on behalf of his people. He's that type of God that will bless his people as we cry out unto him. Now, let's look further. The selfish nature of the flesh often calls people to demand that they receive the best portion of whatever it is available. But this lady was content to ask for just the crumbs or the leftovers of the blessing. Recognizing the awful pit from which we have been rescued, we ought to always give thanks unto God for every blessing, no matter how seemingly insignificant it may seem. Even the crumbs which fall from the master table are more than we desire. Instead of embracing an attitude of pride and covetousness, the Apostle Paul admonished us to be content in whatsoever state we are find ourselves in. And you'll see that over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews 11:13-5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Isn't it good that you can walk around all day and say, God, I know you're never going to leave me, nor will you going to forsake me, and I'm excited for you. And I thank God because the fact of knowing that you are there for me, you are on my side. I can always trust in you and put my hope and my confidence lies within you. That is a good place to be, knowing everywhere you go that God is with you. Now, isn't that profound? Just to meditate on that all day long in itself is a tremendous blessing. Now, let's look further. Coming to Jesus, you're humble. Now, God does not always answer our prayers immediately. He always answers, but he does always answer. And as someone may once observe, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer may be yes. Moreover, sometimes he answers with wait. Although it is his desire to meet our need, he knows that in order to challenge and to strengthen our faith, divine delays are sometimes necessary. And we must not allow the delay to weaken our faith or disappoint us. David wrote, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalms 37:7. Sometimes we have to just wait on him. And that divine delay is not a no, but he knows when the right time to give it to us so that it won't overthrow us or we become overthrown in it. Now, when we become anxious and doubt, it weakens our faith and we become as frail to rely upon the promises of God. Others are disappointed because they ask amiss. The Syrophoenician woman, on the other hand, placed her faith in the loving compassion of God and being a stranger to the promises of God, thus by her faith the scripture was fulfilled. All nation whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Psalm 86:9. Now the Syrophoenician refused to be disappointed by Christ God's silence. Actually, she also just continued to be earnestly desiring after him. And so sometimes we allow ourselves to become disappointed because we didn't get that thing or it didn't happen or you didn't feel God. It doesn't mean that God is not working on your behalf. We must trust him as never before. Now, let's look at the sure reward. Now, what could have ended in a bitter disappointment resulted instead in the healing of her daughter because of her humble spirit and unwavering faith. God honored the great faith and her humble spirit of this Gentile woman. God is just, and he will not cast us aside when we approach him with the right attitude. Let's take a look at another scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through verse number 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, because we waited upon the Lord. Now, there is a great reward to those who trust in the Lord. Jesus promised the church, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Let's look at another aspect here. Great faith through a humble spirit. God honors those who live humbly, but God resists the proud and haughty. Pride prevents us from recognizing our dependency upon God. Only when we realize our weaknesses and our unworthiness of the blessing of God, we are able to receive his grace and strength. When we look at Proverbs 3, verses number 5 through 8, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Now, all wisdom of man is but a drop in the bucket compared to the great ocean of wisdom God has, as well as his understanding. He also regards not the man's person or a man of high degree, but he searches for the meek and the lowly of heart. "For thus said the high and the lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of a humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." That's Isaiah chapter number 57 and verse 15. Let's look further at the coming of Jesus. Now, sorrow introduced her to Jesus. Sometimes it's necessary that sicknesses or tragedy or adverse circumstances befall a person in order for them to recognize their helplessness and dependency upon God. As long as everything goes well, people tend to forget the sources of their blessing. The people of Israel failed God when they had a self-sufficient attitude and did not give glory and honor to God. Yet in times of distress, Israel always called on God for deliverance. Desperation compelled the Syrophoenician woman to seek deliverance from Jesus for her daughter. Nothing could stand between her and her great faith in the power of God through Jesus Christ to set her daughter free. The miracle of her daughter's deliverance was made possible because of her intense burden and deep sorrow. This deep sorrow, as tragic as it was the impetus for bringing her to the feet of Jesus. Sometimes we too experience our pains or sorrow in our lives. Yet, if the sorrow causes us to turn to the Lord in faith, it is a price that is far greater than rubies or pearls. Let us look further. Christ broke down all distinction of class as well as race. Now, the grace of Jesus Christ broke down the barriers that separated the Jews and the Gentiles from the promises of God. Jesus came into the world to redeem the lost, both the Jews and the Gentiles. You'll see that over in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. "Although she was a Gentile, the Syrophoenician woman recognized the power of God in Jesus Christ. Her faith appropriated the miracle of the healing that many of the Jews had refused through unbelief. Therefore, the children's bread became a source of great strength to the Gentile woman and her daughter. She had asked for nothing more than crumbs, but she received a full loaf of God's miraculous power and strength. God is no respecter of person." Acts chapter 10, verse 34. When you look at Romans 10 and 12, it says, "For there is no difference between Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now let's look at the first fruit of the Gentiles. The first fruit of the harvest are the golden heads of the grain of every ripened fruit of the impending harvest. They are to a token of the embalmment of such greater anticipation of the harvest. Now the Syrophoenician woman received of the Lord Jesus Christ a measure of his glorious kingdom established in the heart and the mind of every true believer. Being a Gentile, her blessing was a type of a first fruit to all the Gentile who would thereafter believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Having asked for but a crumb, her reward bestowed us in that her daughter received complete healing and deliverance. If this healing and deliverance from God is not but a crumb, how much richer and fuller blessing await us at the table of the Lord. Indeed, the psalmist David wrote, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Psalms 23:5. And so as we conclude on our lesson today, the way in which we approach God will determine how we receive an answer from him. They who will come before his presence with meekness and humility will not be cast aside. But God resists the attitude of the self-righteous and the demanding person. He seeks to reward those who are broken and sincere toward him, those who believe in his word and trust not in their own understanding will find favor in his sight. Those who sincerely trust in the goodness of God's mercy are not easily provoked or turned aside from pursuing the manifold grace of God. Now, the Syrophoenician woman, she stands out as a true example of the kind of person who can touch the heart of God. And so, child of God, on today, in my closing, I want to say, let us touch the heart of God. Let us continue to go and look for God's manifold grace as we call upon him in a spirit of humility and a heart of lowliness before him, to asking him to help us, to helping him to bless our families, our children, and even our community and our country and our world, that God would move in a mighty and a special way, even in the ministries that he's given unto you. Let us go back to the giver of life and call upon that matchless name and watch him move upon our lives in a mighty and a special way and bring and wrought deliverance and healing in the life of his people as never before. The hearing of the humble. Let God hear us when we cry as we humble ourselves up under his mighty hand. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you, dear God, because we come in the spirit of humility. We come, Lord, humbling ourselves up under your mighty hand, asking, oh God, that you will move by your power divine and that you will undergird and fortify your people as never before. You see every need of those that will listen to this broadcast. God, I touch and agree with them. I believe, God, for your blessed will to be done according to your holy word and will for their life, that it be so, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Now bless we your people as we bless you back, as we forever walk in the spirit of humility, giving all glory and honor back unto you. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, thank you for being with us on today. I know God has tremendously blessed you. Let us continue to walk in the spirit of humility. Let us continue to roll our dependency upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and watch him come and help us and give us that divine assistance that we need to carry out his purpose for our life. And so as I close on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. Yes, all you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. May the blessings of the Lord continue, child of God. Make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may the blessings of God continue to be with you. And bye-bye.